You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky Rhett back with you, and we have playoff games to recap. It was an incredible, incredible weekend. There were some blowouts. I was just like, man, give us a close game, please. Just give us a good close game. Yeah. Man, Buck, we got one. We got one there at the end. We're going to go through all the games individually. But I say we just jump right in here because I wanted to have kind of that big picture conversation, because I feel like one of the things with scouting that you're always doing is you're always trying to figure out not just where the league is, but where it's heading and what the smart teams are doing, what the successful teams are doing, roster building, all those types of things. Buck, you first and Rhett followed up, but like, is there anything when you watched this weekend of football that you thought, okay, there's something here, like something that kind of tied this together?
Draft and development strategies require everyone to be invested in it being successful. Meaning the coaches in the front office have to be in line to take young players and to put them on the field. It's not a coincidence that all of the teams that are left standing in the tournament had prominent players that were young, first, second, third year players that were playing and playing really, really well. And the only way that you can do that is there has to be cohesion between the front offices to identify the players, and then the coaches have to be committed to developing and playing the young players. And when you have that kind of alignment, you can have the kind of success that we've seen. I would say the Rams, even though they lost, the Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers, the Houston Texans, some of those other teams that have been able to do it in a homegrown or organic fashion is because everybody in the building is invested in making sure that the young guys play and play well when they get the opportunity.
Yeah, I'd say that's a great point. And it was amplified by Dan Campbell's locker room speech. And the first guy he gave a game ball to was Brad Holmes, the GM, and talked about how they've been in lockstep together with how they were going to build things. The overriding theme that I kept coming back to were the teams that had collections of targets were winners this weekend. Think about Houston. Yeah, no, is Nico Collins a really good receiver? Absolutely. But Nico, Dalton Schultz, Brevin Jordan, Devin Singleton, the guys who were not hamstrung by, hey, I got to get the ball to 88. I got to get the ball to 10. Those teams won this weekend. The Chiefs with Rasheed Rice and Travis Kelce and Pacheco. You look at it, I think both teams really, and that's why that game was maybe so close, Rams and Lions, you could say that. Yeah, there's bona fide dudes on that roster in Detroit with Amon-Ra St. Brown and in LA with Puka and Cooper. But again, it's not just one guy. They have different ways that they can generate offense. Look at the Packers, right? I mean, seven different guys could have caught any number of passes from Jordan Love and did. I mean, and I'll get to that coming up here in just a little while. But Christian Watson and Jaden Reed, arguably their two most talented, barely touched the ball. And they still scored five straight touchdowns at one point. Yeah. So I just think the draft and development and the free agency strategies to bring in multiple guys that you can count on is really important.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. I think being in lockstep with your whole building and being aligned, I think is huge. I wrote down a couple different things, and then Buck hit me back on this. Mm-hmm. But One of the things I thought of was the QB path and slash patience. Like when you look at the four winners, right? KC didn't throw Mahomes out there right away. Green Bay obviously did not throw Jordan Love out there right away. What at a time when Jared Goff, you could be viewed as quote unquote a throw-in in the Stafford trade, and maybe that his best football, they thought he'd peaked, he'd maxed out, but they were patient with him, stuck with him, and he's continued to get better and better and is playing really, really good ball for Detroit. And then you have the crazy, ridiculous thing, which when we get into the game, we'll talk about it, of just how CJ Stroud is like a, he's like a 10-year veteran all pro. That's, I've never seen anything like it to be that comfortable and poised what he's doing. That's its own unique thing. But so I thought the path of the quarterbacks was interesting. I think when you look at those teams, I feel like there's some tried and truisms that we've come up with on this on our show over the years, and we've talked about the three P's. So when you look at these four winners, Houston, KC, Green Bay, Detroit, and you think about protection, the investment those teams have made in their offensive line, keep in mind they combined to give up three sacks. All were given up by Detroit, ironically, which is would be considered the best offensive line of this bunch. The other ones had no sacks given up. None of these teams threw picks. None of those four teams threw picks. But if you think about protection, play callers, look at who's calling plays for those offenses. All excellent play callers. Yeah. And then you look at the playmakers. So like the three P's, all four of those winning teams have developed in those areas and have they're rock solid. So that's another thing that stood out to me. The other one was, we talk about on here all the time, you win in the postseason with elite quarterback play and pass rush. So where should you invest in those areas? Let's look at these games. These are guys who had sacks in this game. Will Anderson, you trade up and get him.
First round pick.
He goes off in that game. Karlaftis, the Chiefs take him, bottom of the first round, sack. Hutchinson, second pick, two sacks.
Those were
Van Ness for Green Bay, first round pick, sack. Like, there's a reason we talk about this stuff. There's a reason how there's a way to build this thing the right way, and certain premium positions require premium resources. There's a reason why these pass rushers all go so dang high every single year, Buck.
Yeah.
So I love it. So in responding to both of you guys, I think Rhett's point is brilliant about a collection of pass catchers being able to make a difference. Going all the way back, this came by way of Mike Holmgren, but it came from Bill Walsh, where he talked about the system with a bunch of B-plus pass catchers and a very good quarterback will lead to success. So if you focus on, let's get the quarterback, let's make sure we have a quarterback-friendly system, and then if we get a collection of B-pluses, not hey, I'm going to overpay and get an elite number one, but I'm going to get some very good players that we can develop, you have success. When you look at the teams that we talked about, hey, Puka Nacua being a fifth-round pick, playing in a system that they were able to really have a clone in Cooper Kupp in Nacua, it worked out. Elite quarterback in Matthew Stafford, and away they go. You look at Jared Goff and the collection of playmakers around him. Amon Ross St. Brown, Jameson Williams. Look, Sam LaPorta was hurt, but still made contributions. Josh Reynolds. I mean, on and on and on. The Texans with an elite quarterback and all those guys. Yeah. Look, man, it's not a surprise. And if we're being honest and we step back, if you look, you can see the breadcrumbs to being a championship team. It's all right there. Yeah. The patience with the quarterback. DJ, I think everyone talks about going into the draft. We got to get a quarterback right away. I think the time to go to the grocery store for the quarterback is when you don't need one. When you are set and you're like, okay, let's look off in the distance. Maybe in a year or two, we need a quarterback. Let's draft one high so there's not the pressure on him to play right away.
Put him in the oven.
Patrick Mahomes. Remember, everyone's like, oh, we get him, we're going to play him. Patrick Mahomes, you're looking at Jordan Love. I mean, they were able to be patient to develop them and play through the things. And they didn't listen to the outside noise when it came to Jared Goff because it worked. And then the pass rushers, we talk about marquee and premium positions. You listed all those first round pass rushers that had sack. It's cute to be able to get somebody in the third, fourth, fifth round, but man, pay top dollar in the draft, in draft currency, and get an elite dude, a guy with elite traits, because those guys pay off. And it's not coincidental that coincidence that all those guys in the first round had success.
And I'll do the Rhett real quick. The crossover to me is like in baseball, you talk about, okay, you can compile stats, but when you get into the postseason, you've got to be able to hit good pitching. you're not going to see the fourth and fifth starters anymore. So you have to build, you have to have some elite guys that can hit elite pitching. It's like with rushers. You can find, I mean, it's easy. You know, you can find guys here, there. They might even get you double digit sacks against some of the tomato cans they're going to run into during the regular season. You don't see many tomato cans in the postseason.
No, you
need elite guys that can win against other elite players. Yeah. That's why I'm, that's the point I was getting to there as well.
I think it's a great point. And I think when we get into this, the Texans game here in a little bit, you're going to see a little bit of both, right? Because you got the top end talent, Will Anderson, but how about where they ended up getting Derek Barnett and Myjai Sanders, who played major snaps for them. So again, it's kind of up and down the roster where you find some of that.
But I think Derek Barnett was the first
round. Yeah, what round was Derek Barnett taking? I know he's older, but still.
Exactly right. I mean, more of like scrap heap in terms, you know, he was on waivers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you're right. For sure. But even him, like even as he's gotten older, another thing we've always harped on is the 10, is the get off, right? So it shouldn't say the 10, that's a comment, but the get off numbers you can get from, we get it off next gen. And those get off numbers, Derek Barnett would always, Buck, when we would talk about it, he'd always be up there in like the top five. We all be like, man, Derek Barnett, who knew?
Yes.
Because he's not like a super, you don't think of him as a super bendy athletic dude, but you can get off the rock. Even at an accelerated age. So let's get to the games here individually. Yep. Let's start with where we ended, which was the Dallas Cowboys, and a lot that came with that. And I feel weird saying the Dallas Cowboys, just rolls off the tongue. Instead of saying the Green Bay Packers won,
the Cowboys lost.
The Cowboys got killed is like the headline. But man, I didn't. Rhett, you can start us off on this one, but I didn't see it. The Cowboys had won 16 straight games at home. The Packers coming in there with Jordan Love in his first playoff start, playing with all young dudes. I mean, I was as bullish on the Packers' future as anybody, but I did not think they were going to go in there and do what they did. Not just beat them, they blew them out the building.
Well, when you really think about it, the Packers' offense was everything that the Cowboys should have been, right? Mm-hmm. They had a dominant run game, which is, you know, what we had hoped that the Cowboys would have been this year. It never quite materialized, but you could make the case that the offensive line talent for the Dallas Cowboys was, you know, a couple of steps ahead of where the Packers were due to injuries and having to fit guys in there. They've had some young guys playing well up there. But, you know, the playmaking quarterback, I mean, Jordan Love has played really well. I didn't have him that far exceeding what Dak Prescott did in this game. But when it comes down to the targets, again, Love has confidence like 1 through 8 to get to guys. And that's what I kept coming back to. You know, Dontavian Wicks, you're going to throw that ball to Dontavian Wicks in the, you know, and he's going to beat Stephon Gilmore like that on a double.
Bad day at the office for Stephon Gilmore,
It was. It was. And so, like, I keep coming in. And then you look on the flip side and you're like, boy, Dak and CeeDee Lamb, the most potent wide quarterback to wide receiver connection all year long, just couldn't get it going. And then when you rely on a guy like that, when you rely on that connection for 135 times this year, and then it's not happening, you had Mike McCarthy going over to CeeDee, say, hey, we're going to get you the ball. Don't worry. Just relax. Everybody stay calm. But you could feel like almost immediately it was like, oh boy, it's not working. We got to fix it. We got to go. We got to get Dak. Dak's got to find CeeDee. CeeDee drops one. Dak throws one that he shouldn't have thrown that ends up getting pick six. Like, it's almost like the alarm bell started going off so quickly for Dallas that there was nobody coming to the rescue. The first responders weren't coming to AT&T Stadium for Dallas. And so it's just that's the way it felt to me from an offensive perspective, is that that's what Packers are, what the Cowboys could have been this year. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see it. Buck,
look, we'll talk about the Cowboys, but we'll use the Packers as the example. When you're in charge of building a team, build a team.
Yeah.
Build a team where you're not wholly dependent on one player or two players to be able to get it done. So for the Cowboys have been able to win and roll through people during the regular season, relying on their stars. And so who are the stars? Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Parsons. And then this year on defense has been Deron Bland with pick sixes. But they are a star power team. And then when you look in the postseason and when you take it to baseball, you guys know I'm a Dodgers fan, but sometimes when you increasingly rely on the stars, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, if they don't, their bats aren't going, it's hard to do it. So you need to have a balanced line from 1 to 9 to be able to get it done. And what we're seeing, all those teams that advance, Houston, we talked about Detroit, just very balanced when it came to the distribution, it came to the contributions. And as much as I love having a number one option or whatever, sometimes it is difficult, more difficult to defend a team that doesn't have a declared number one, because you never know who's going to be the guy on that day.
So let's spin it forward a little bit here. Obviously, we're going to see Green Bay moving on to playoffs. Excited to see what they do at San Francisco. I mean, that's going to be a fun matchup. See this young group go up there to play. You know, we think they probably all agree is the favorite to win the whole thing. And the Niners with the roster that they have. So that's going to be fun to watch. But spinning it forward a little bit here, Buck, with the Cowboys, you talked about the stars. I mean, the interesting thing is when you look at them, like, this is why I'm worried about Mike McCarthy. I never advocate for people to lose their jobs. He's won a ton of games there. But there's other teams that lose, and you look at them and go, ah, the roster hole, right there. Like, the offensive line, not good enough.
Yeah.
Ah, they don't have playmakers. You know what? Oh, man, they don't have pass rush. Like, I look at the roster, and Will McClay's done a heck of a job building out a really, really good roster. So when you don't have that glaring roster hole, I mean, you can point at Dak. I mean, I guess you can let Dak wear some of that. He's got a bunch of empty calorie stats on here that he got when they were down 32 points with 6 minutes to go.
Yes.
But I don't know how you go forward as is. That's what I'm getting to, because I don't look at it and say, well, he didn't have a chance. He doesn't have X, Y, or Z. Like, they've given him all that stuff. Like, they gave you all the quote-unquote groceries. The meal sucks. Like, I don't know where else to put that.
Well, I mean, look, man, it's either coaching, personnel, or scheme. And so this one has to go on the coaching. And now the thing that I worry is, like, we're 24 hours after the loss, and so you don't want to make an emotional decision. They've won a double-digit wins, like, three straight years.
No
they
question.
Faltered in the playoffs. And so what you have to examine is, can this get better in the postseason, or do we need to blow it up and start over? Because if you bring in a new coach, it's not guaranteed that it's going to pick up where it left off. You kind of have to reset and start it over. And that's a tough one, because I'm six on one hand, half a dozen on the other, because I don't know where they go from there. To be one and done in the manner in which they lost, man, that makes it really, really hard to say. And it's now time to pay the taxes. You got to pay the quarterback. You got to pay some of your other top playmakers. And when you pay those guys, we talk about the star power and the difference. Man, it becomes an even bigger gap on your roster in terms of what you have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know where they go, because it's weird.
Here's the other thing that I want this to get lost. I'm not saying that CeeDee Lamb is the only player they got on that team, but to your point, DJ, sometimes it felt like that way, you know, with the way that they were trying to utilize.
It shouldn't be, though. They got legit guys on this offense.
Jake Ferguson, they found way
player.
Too late. Way too late. He scores those two touchdowns in the final 5 minutes, and you're like, and obviously the Packers are trying to keep everything in front of them, and you know how that goes when you're up, 32 points in the final 6 minutes of a game, and foot comes off a little bit. They end up putting, Jordan Love and Aaron Jones back in the game just to make sure and nothing goes wrong. But yeah, ultimately there was a flawed plan.
But I mean, like as a two, like Michael Gallup's a solid two. Like he's a good player, a good NFL player.
Yeah.
I mean, like they've got other pieces.
It comes down to the plan and how you utilize them, right? That's ultimately what we're saying here.
And we can keep it moving. We don't need to do the Cowboy all day here. Yeah. But like Buck talked about early in the year about, hey, I know Zeke's not what he was or who he was, but like I'm not saying that they miss him individually, but they don't have that back. They miss that type of player. They don't really have that. And the run game was a major difference in this game. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Jones, was easy. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the Cowboys do. I imagine Jerry Jones isn't going to rush anything. He's probably going to take his time and make a decision, which is a smart thing to do. But man, that's got to be all kinds of frustrating. As somebody who has two kids who, live in Texas, trust me, like you want to go to the, if you don't know, if you're from
get
outside, never been there. If you go, even in Houston, to be honest with you, during a Cowboy game, you go to the grocery store, there's no line.
It's all Dallas.
It is. The whole state is obsessed with the Dallas Cowboys. So the weight of that, the pressure of that, and the continued postseason failure is going to be factored into the decision. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got three more games to get to. We'll get to these right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, let's get. I said we started with the last game. Actually, I was fudging it a little bit. I just wanted to move the Cowboys Packers to the top.
That's
of the
fine.
Line because the actual last game was the Lions and the Rams, which was the best game that we saw of the weekend, 24-23. Buck, I was telling you before we started with you and Rhett, I told both of you I thought if they played this game 10 times, each team would win 5. I mean, it was a great game between two evenly matched teams.
It was a very entertaining game to watch, and I love the quarterback play. I thought both guys played outstanding. Matthew Stafford just deals. And DJ, it's funny because when we talk about number one overall pick and we talk about the kind of talent that the number one overall pick should have, Matthew Stafford epitomizes what a number one overall pick should look like at quarterback. And I want to make sure I say this the right way. The number one overall pick at quarterback should have the tools in the toolbox that Matthew Stafford has. He should have the arm talent, the arm angles, the ability to deal, all that stuff. He should have the ability to elevate his game in the biggest moments. He has that because for someone who we worried about this year, hey, is he going to play? Is he going to play? Man, he was on fire. He was absolutely amazing in terms of tossing it and handling. And then the underrated part of Matthew Stafford, the toughness. Because DJ, he got absolutely mollywopped and drilled. Yeah. Ribs, head, whatever he calls, and he came back and he responded.
Finger.
So, number one overall pick at quarterback, the talent and the toughness has to be there. He has that. For Jared Goff, it's a little differently, but I will say this. A motivated Jared Goff early in the game was throwing absolute darts. The first one that he ripped to Josh Reynolds on that square end, I mean, it was, okay, Jared, you came to play today. Like, you came to show Matthew Stafford and the crew that I got it. And so, I think we have to keep that in mind as we begin to transition to the draft and what we're looking for at that position. Man, that number one overall spot, it has to have someone who has supreme talent and exceptional toughness to be able to get it done, because both of those quarterbacks show that.
Yeah, and DJ, I think, it's obvious, but this game came down to red zone production, right? Where the Rams were 0 for 3 on scoring touchdowns in the red zone. The Lions were 3 for 3. That is literally where this game was decided. Because otherwise, Rams put that in the paint 2 out of the 3 times, 1 out of the 3 times. We're talking about a win, for LA. And look, it was a number of things. Like, I don't know that you can just point to, it was play calling here. It was protection here. It was, route running here. It was really good defense by Detroit, by the way, down there. It was all that stuff. And it was a bunch of different things at a bunch of different plays. Yeah, protection got beat a couple of times. Yeah, they didn't run it maybe as much as they probably, looking back, wanted to in a couple of different situations. Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson got jammed up and forced, Cooper Kupp to adjust his route. That might have been a touchdown. But again, little things here and there, and they get amplified down there in the red area. We all know it. But real quick, because I want to go back to, and let you dig in on the comp you made on Twitter yesterday, talking about Puka Nacua and Hines Ward. We've all seen it by now, right? The Les Snead and Sean McVay conversations on draft day about Puka Nacua, about the type of receiver that Sean wanted. You remember the things that he said when they released that video. It was like, I want a guy who's where he's supposed to be. He's grounded through the catch, aggressive hands, dig out in the run game, and then he can be an extension of the run game. And Les is like, well, why don't you take the whole draft with all that, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. Two things. He had a vision for what he wanted. And 100%. Two, he didn't ask for 4.3 speed. He didn't ask for, insane athleticism, which, by the way, fine. If you get that, it's great. But those other things that he knows he can succeed with, that's what you talk about with coach and personnel being in lockstep. That's how they came together and found an absolute steal of a player in Puka Nacua in the fifth round. So, again, toughness, tenacity, they talk about there. That was Puka in this game. Run after the catch, the whole deal.
Can I take this, and you're gonna, this is gonna feel like it's a super weird turn, but can I tell you how excited I would be right now if I was a Washington Commander fan based off what you just said right there in that conversation? And I'm gonna draw it together for you,
Adam Peters,
because this starts with Kyle Shanahan, right?
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan, Sean learned and worked together with Kyle. They had a shared vision of what they want in wide receivers. Think about what the Rams have done with wide receivers. Think about what the 49ers have done with wide receivers. Think about the Minnesota Vikings with Kevin, what he's done coming underneath Sean and him identifying. I had texts from him about Jordan Addison 2 months before the draft, how excited he was about him because of a lot of the same things you're talking about. They know what they want and what works in that system, especially at the wide receiver position. Adam Peters is going to be the new GM in Washington. Has spent all this time, and Buck, we've known him forever with Kyle up there. He knows it. He's got the secret sauce here of how to evaluate that position. Now, they're pretty good in that room. They've got Terry McLaurin's is a stud. Jahan Dotson's a really good young player, but they're going to continue to add to that group. It's interesting to me that there's certain groups of under that tree where they can evaluate certain things really, really well. Man, that's a great example of what they know how to scout that.
Which one of those three teams is going to get Ladd McConkey?
Yeah, let's go. Well, durability. We'll get to him. Right, we'll get to him later. I like him. I like him a lot as a player. But
no, so I love those things that you're talking about. And Rhett, like when I think about the wide receiver position as Sean McVay is describing it, reliability, dependability. That's what I want.
Maturity. Maturity and intelligence. Yeah,
so that's the other thing. So, I've talked about like with young quarterbacks, I want to pay them with a veteran receiver because I want them to know that, hey, you can let the ball go. You can trust it. You can throw it to the spot because the old guy is going to be exactly where they're supposed to be.
Yeah,
I would say Puka is mature beyond his years. The other thing that I would say in the Rams case, and I said this, they had a perfect clone already in the building to be able to vividly say, this is what we're looking for. I think I told you the story. The same guy that coached Cooper Kupp coached Puka Nacua at UW, Junior Adams. And so when they're doing the draft stuff and we talk about the scout's job is to go and do the back, hey, maybe Junior Adams told him, hey, guys, I know this. He reminds me a lot like the guy that I had at Eastern Washington. So maybe he will be a perfect fit in your system.
And look, Puka might have gone on to have been a terrific player if he'd have been drafted somewhere else. But I guarantee you he's not setting rookie records
if Cooper Kupp's not there, if Matthew
Stafford isn't his quarterback, if McVay didn't have that kind of vision for him and utilize it that way. But and I don't want to take that away from anything that Puka is. Just saying it all matters. Deej.
85% of the league, it's about the system. It's fit in system. He's a perfect fit for the system, which is why, and DJ will talk about this, sometimes it's hard on our end now to scout for the leak because we 100%. Don't have those parameters in place. When you work for a team, you should, if it's a good organization, they give you clear, hey, this is what we're looking for at the position. So now when I rank them from 1 to 10, these guys fit and qualify. To me, those places that you talk about, Minnesota, the Rams, hopefully when we talk about the Commanders, they're going to have a clear vision for what they want at each of those positions.
100%. All right, let's keep it moving here. Let's get to the Chiefs in a frigid cold game. They get after the Miami Dolphins. A lot of different ways we can go with this one, Rhett. But to me, I think that everybody's going to talk about a couple things coming out of this game. They're going to talk about the weather. They're going to talk about Taylor Swift. They're going to talk about Pacheco and running hard.
Surface swag,
the whole thing. To me, anything that doesn't start at the headline of the Chiefs defense and what they continue to do, playing dominant football for a long time now, that to me is the biggest takeaway in this game.
Yeah, and Bucky, it's going to be really quick for me, and I'll spin it right back to you here. I think you see that in the fact that the Miami Dolphins had zero run game. Zero explosives in the run game. Now, we could talk about the Dolphins' defense being all banged up, and they've had injuries and whatever. It didn't. They had everybody they needed to have on the offensive side of the ball to run the offense the way that they want to, right? Which is explosive plays in the run game, you know, and then hit. They didn't have it. And the Chiefs defense is a big part of it. But bottom line, they did not have the explosives on the ground that they need to for that offense to be successful.
I mean, let's go back to the top. We talked about observations about getting young people ready to play. So when the Kansas City Chiefs made the commitment to Pat Mahomes to pay him the blockbuster deal that they did, they basically told the defense, you're going to have to draft and develop your personnel. There's no one coming in from the outside that's going to be a marquee name with blockbuster money to save it. So we need to make sure that we can play a defense that allows young people to play. And when you think about the guys that show up outside of Chris Jones, George Karlaftis is what, second year. You think about that second wave of linebackers. Most of those guys, with the exception of Drew Tranquil, are young guys. The secondary, all first and second year guys, with the exception of Legere Sneed, who's a little older, but all developed in-house. And so we talk about being in lockstep, front office and coaching staff. Here are the players that we need. When we get them, we're going to play them. And shout out to my old high school teammate, David Murray, who coaches the secondary at Kansas City. They've been able to do it with so many young players.
Jerry Sneed, man.
I just got to figure out. I got to call Dave and be like, hey, man, what are you doing with these young guys? Because it doesn't matter who they put in the secondary. Young, they are playing and they're playing well. And knowing a little bit about Spags' system, it ain't real easy to learn. So they've done a really good job of getting those guys up to speed. And the only way you can do it is the scouts have to go on the road knowing exactly what they're looking for. And then the coaches have to take those players and get them to the next level really quick.
All right. Can I change gears here? Let me get to Miami. And I want to just kind of ease the concerns and the panic and the hysteria for the Miami Dolphin fans here. Okay. I'm going to do it by giving you two different sets of numbers here. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
3-5. Okay. Remember that. 3 wins, 5 losses. Now let's look at 2 wins, 5 losses. Okay. Well, let me tell you what that is. That is Peyton Manning's road playoff record, and that is Drew Brees' road playoff record. Now, I'm not saying Tua is Peyton or he is Drew Brees. I'm saying those teams were specifically built on precision passing, which requires them to play home playoff games to be successful. Yes. The regular season matters more to precision passing teams than it does to anyone else. Tua is a precision passer. He is not a play in minus 30 degree weather quarterback. Okay. Yeah. That's okay. That's okay. That doesn't mean that you can't win a Super Bowl with Tua. You can win a Super Bowl with Tua, but you better freaking take care of business in the regular season and play at home. And those two are dome teams. This is a warm weather team. But their teams, Bucky, are built the same. They're built to play with the lead. They're built to be very precise and accurate and throw with anticipation. They're not built to throw in 50-mile-an-hour gusting winds and negative 30-degree wind chill.
And you have to know that. And the funny thing, when we talk about – normally, DJ, we always talk about – where we talk about building your team to win a division. Well, even though you're the Miami Dolphins and you play in warm weather for 8 or 9 games out the year – you still have to go to New York, Buffalo, and New England. So you would like to think that you would have an element of your team that could deal with inclement conditions, because it's likely that you're going to play a game or two during the regular season in that fashion. And so as fun as the Miami Dolphins are to watch, I would say they're ill-equipped to deal with these kinds of conditions. And so the question that Mike McDaniels has to ask himself when he reflects, can we go forward kind of being the splashy team that we are, or do we need to tweak it a little bit to be able to give us a chance to have the success.
Buck, they didn't lose this game this week. They lost this game last week at home against Buffalo in perfect weather conditions. Like even if you say, okay, you're going to get between those three divisional teams, you're going to get one crappy weather game probably. If you handle your business at home and you know, do split in the road and maybe a little bit better, you're going to be home. Like, they lost that game at home. They cannot lose. I know they're missing guys, but that team needed to win the game at home against Buffalo. Their playoffs ended when they lost to Buffalo at home. That was it.
Yeah, I think I don't have anything. I mean, I think we covered it. I mean, like, when they can't throw the ball the way they want to and they're not successful in running the football.
They're just the team. Nothing to them. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not a grounded out team. So they are a finesse team. They want to get on the perimeter. They want to do all the cue stuff or whatever. And it works in South Florida. It's better in South Florida. And, well, I think the pressure then, DJ, we talk about it. Hey, we got to go 8-0, 9-0 at home to ensure that we get a home game or home games in the playoffs. But even then, DJ, if that's the deal, there's a short shelf life and window that you can do that. I know you talk about Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts, but it's hard if you're a dome team built to play just in the confines of your spot. It just makes it hard to have, I would say, sustained high level of Super Bowl success to be able to do it.
No, and those teams didn't, because they don't have, like, Patrick Mahomes has already won a couple, and Patrick Mahomes has been fortunate. He's been at home, but Patrick Mahomes and, like, Josh Allen, those guys can play in any environment, the quarterback. Anything. It doesn't matter.
The quarterback makes you weather friendly.
Yeah.
The quarterback.
I think some people kind of look at that and say, okay, you know, we got to throw our quarterback out because he's not Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. Like, yeah, you know what? Not many dudes are, man. Now, once you get to that kind of level where Tua is right now, I think he's in the tough to discard him level. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say
he's just good enough. He's just good enough.
It's hard to find better. Like to me, like, the difference, like, that's a conversation. And Justin Fields and Tua, like, Tua's just shown he could play at a much higher level than Justin. Mm-hmm. So that's a different conversation, because I can already hear people saying, well, you're saying maybe they need to move on from Justin, maybe they need to get better. I think it's a little bit easier to find. I think it's easier to find that level just above Justin. I think the level above Tua is going to be harder to find.
Okay, so where you're at in listening to the conversation, Tua Tagovailoa and Dak Prescott are more alike than different.
That's fair.
They're good enough to get you to a certain level, but they're hard to replace because it's rare to find guys that are better than their best.
That's perfect way to say it.
And so you're there. Then it becomes, okay, well, if my quarterback is going to be like this, how can I squeeze? How can I wring the rag out? What can I do? So do I need to put A-level players around them? Do we need to put something on the defense? What it is, the quarterback is going to get me to this level. I need the rest of the pieces to get us over the top. That's where both of those teams are.
Yeah, that's a great way to tie that together. I don't think I've heard anybody compare Tua and Dak. That's an interesting spot to be in. I think the immediate reaction to both of those fan bases is, get these guys out of here. They're not good enough.
And grass ain't always greener.
Dude, you better tell me where you're going to get somebody better. Last I checked, you ain't picking the first pick in the draft now. Like,
right.
So that's interesting dilemma there. All right, Browns, Texans. Buck, I will give you the floor. Can we start? I'm going to force you to start here first, though. C.J. Stroud is 22 years old. I've never seen anything like it, man. I'm telling you, like, I try not to be about hyperbole, and I've never seen somebody so completely dialed in and locked in and to play that elite level of football at this is insane. I don't even know. I don't have words for it, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's really insane. And I kind of kid myself, because having known the kid, having been around the kid when he was in high school, he had the same kind of stuff to him. But DJ, like, here's the thing. And here's the thing as an evaluator, because everyone would go back and look at, like, the draft stuff, him and Bryce or whatever. But I'll be honest with you. Like, what we're seeing now, we didn't see at Ohio State. I mean, you saw flashes and snippets, but not this dude that showed up in Houston. And he's a completely different animal than the one that we saw in college. And I don't know how you factor in the development piece or whatever. I think what this speaks to is when we're evaluating and when decision makers are evaluating the quarterback position, man, so much of it is the guy more so than the tools. Like, how is the guy? Because when you hear D'Amico Ryans talk about, we are here because of that guy, we are here because of CJ Stroud. We lean on him. We're doing this, all of that. It just tells me that in private, this dude is the man. Like, everyone knows that he is the guy, and he carries himself in a way that on the outside, maybe we don't know it, but there's a dog that lurks in that no one has necessarily seen or no one saw during the pre-draft process.
So I'll just tag it real quick and get it to you, Rhett. We've talked about this a million times. I've brought this up a million times by other people in other positions. There's three levels, right? There's interested, there's invested, and there's obsessed. I don't know how you can watch CJ Stroud and even just watch the pregame routine go in. Like, this dude is obsessed with greatness, and I tip my cap to him because I thought he was talented. I didn't know that he's wired like this obsessive maniac that is just, I haven't seen anything like it, what he's doing right now at this stage, at this level.
I think I would agree. And what it reminds me of right now is 2009 and 2013 Drew Brees, in that every time that dude drops back to pass, I'm like, oh, completion.
Yeah.
Completion. They're going to find an explosive. They're going to hit something down the middle of the field. Like it, and you know what? In the same way that Sean Payton was scheming stuff up, Bobby Slowick is scheming up winners for CJ Stroud. Like, we want to talk about the P's, play caller. They got that in spades there. Now, I think they've got some playmakers now, especially when Tank Dell comes back next year. But I think there's still some work that they can do on the protection front, especially since they've been banged up and had to kind of use a lot of different parts this year. But they've got everything you want. I would tell you right now, and then I'll just flip to the defensive side here real quick, because Nick Caserio and, you know, the guys have worked a masterclass in trying to find different ways to figure out the players they need on this defense to make it work. They've done it with high draft picks. They've done it with in free agency. With guys like Denzel Perryman. They've done it, with guys like Jimmy Ward. They continue to build in so many different off waivers. We talked about at the top of the show, Derek Barnett, Myjai Sanders, and then development. How about Christian Harris? Might have been the best player on the field for the Texans.
He was a stud coming out too, though. I mean,
second round pick. But again, it took a little bit of time, and he's now found his way. And
hey, Patrick Queen, by the way, maybe let's not say these off the ball linebackers have to come in and light the world on fire year one. Maybe let's be a little patient with those guys. It's a lot of responsibility.
Good call. But again, that's a lockstep franchise right now with coaching and evaluation. Like they get it, they know, and there are two teams that I am really excited to watch what they do this offseason. And obviously the Texans are still going. I'm in no means ending their run. But going into next year, it's the Rams and it's the Texans with the youth movement and the playmakers at quarterback.
Yeah, a couple of things. We can talk about players all day, but I think not enough has been said about DeMeco Ryans in terms of the job that he's done.
100%.
Yeah. Like, you know, at a time where everyone is looking for a head coach now, leadership is underrated in terms of what he's done. He talked about, you know, from a leadership standpoint, we want to create a positive environment. We want to give positive reinforcement, positive criticism. We want to be honest with them. We want to demand a lot, but we don't want to demean them. You won't hear our coaches cursing guys out. You won't hear us doing it. Hey, we're going to throw our arms around them. We're going to hug them, but we're going to be honest with them. At a time where we talk about this new generation of player, because you hear the new generation of player, they're softer, they're this and that. I think DeMeco Ryans has done a great job of creating a cooperation between he and his players, and he uses the quarterback as kind of like the main driver of that. We're in a business now in the National Football League. It is a partnership. And the coaches that are able to kind of create that investment between players and teams, they're the ones to be able to get it. The other thing, because I think we can talk about this in DJ's point when you talked about the quarterback. DJ, we talked about it. There are guys that like it and there are guys that love it. Right now, the teams that have it, because I'm looking at Detroit and I'm thinking about Dan Campbell, there is nobody on those Lions teams that don't love it like Dan Campbell does. And I think everybody has to do it. Like, we just got to be able to have the right guys that are obsessed with the success and obsessed with doing the dirty work to be able to be a great team and a great player.
No, I think that's it, man. I absolutely think it's it. And all these teams that have won have done a great job of building out their rosters. And we got a couple games coming up today, which we'll have a chance to recap this week as well. So plenty more playoff football to dig into. But that's going to do it for us today. Again, I hope you guys enjoyed this one. It's always fun to get to talk when we have high stakes in winter go home football. There's nothing better. Hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as we have. And we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.